At a previous appointment, we lived in a parsonage. It was a very long, one-story parsonage with a number of rooms, including one room that was a remodeled porch that was kind of like a sunroom. We didn't know what to do with that space because it was about 20 feet long and about 8 feet wide. So there weren't a lot of pieces of furniture that fit in there. There wasn't like, is this a breakfast room? Is it a sunroom? You know, so we were confused about it. But I was also at that appointment. When I started, I was not full-time. And so I had a little extra time on my hands. So I decided, wouldn't it be great to build a table? And to do this, and to like design it to fit this space, but also narrow enough to go through doors, because I'm a Methodist and we have to move. So I don't have to just leave it there. That space. So my father had been big into woodworking, and got into it recently in his retirement. And I was like, I can hammer and nail and do things like that. So I kind of, as I got towards and into this practice, there were some strange words I found that weren't common words in everyday life. One word was a jig. Now a jig, when I hear it first, I think of like an Irish jig. In woodworking, it's a different thing. Can you show the jig? Oh, they're backwards. Okay. Pick the wrong slice. Okay. So that would be a kind of jig. So it's kind of designed, it's a tool used for a specific and precise thing. And that aspect. And so it's when you have an activity or a cut that you have to make over and over again, the jig helps you to make it. Because in all of these aspects with woodworking, you're not the first person to ever do it. And so this helps us. Another word is a plane. Okay, a plane, yeah, so we have that. When I think of plane, though, before getting into this, it's the flying plane, you know? In that kind of way. Another word is a biscuit. If we go back to the first one. There we go. So this is a woodworking biscuit, you know? If you think of biscuit in American, it's usually like that puffy, like, carb bomb that you can have. You think about a British biscuit. A British biscuit is basically a cookie. And so that's where this comes from. Biscuits are often, they're the most unseen thing, and a lot of tables have biscuit joints because they're very thin and narrow, so you only need a narrow piece of wood. But all of this, you don't need to know what a biscuit is to use a table. Like, you don't need to know what kind of joint is in there. People have been building tables for thousands of years. A tradition has been passed down. That's literally what tradition means. It means to pass something down. It's not something that's set in stone that you can ever waver from. It's what is worthy of your life that you want to pass to another generation. That's what a tradition is. And in building tables, you realize pretty quickly, you don't have to create a table from scratch. You're not the first person. I was not the first person who comes to this problem of how do I build a table for this awkward space? That has been done millions and millions of times in the history of the world. And the more I open myself up to that tradition, the easier it is. The more I push myself away from it, the harder it is, and the more pressure I put on myself. And how much more is it with the God who loves us? We don't need to avoid language like Trinity or Holy Spirit when we talk about God. When on the surface it may seem confusing. Just like these words, like jig and plane and rabbit and mortise and other words I didn't even get to, seem like gibberish. Instead, with God and the words we use for God, there is a depth that is going on there. There's always a way to go deeper. Friends, we are entering into a new series about the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit is the third person of the Trinity, one of those aspects of Christian faith taught in confirmation class and never mentioned again. Well, of course, there are some traditions that only speak of the Holy Spirit and nothing else. There is only the Holy Spirit. There is only speaking in tongues. There are only these aspects. Or the Spirit is used as this kind of filler to kind of take this plate. The Spirit led me to do this. The Spirit led me to do this. Which is really awkward in college when people talk about, well, the Spirit led me to date this person. Well, are you sure? I don't know. I don't know if the Spirit was really... Maybe, it's always possible, but we might want to back up on that language a little bit. Over the next few weeks, we're going to talk about the Holy Spirit in a number of different ways. We're going to see how important our understanding of God
Father, Son, and Holy Spirit is to our faith. We're going to be at Pentecost, the birthday of the church, the time when the Holy Spirit was sent out into the world like a fire. That's what the fire is on the front of your bulletin. Like a fire. The Holy Spirit goes by a number of names in Scripture. It goes by the Comforter, the Advocate. But God is also a name for the Holy Spirit, and by the Preparer. And today we're going to talk about the Holy Spirit as Preparer. In that reading from the book of Acts, you see, we read that the Holy Spirit comes before baptism. And so the Holy Spirit descends on the crowd. And then Peter is like, hey, why should we not baptize them? And so he does. But the Holy Spirit comes before. It is prior. It is prior. It's what priority means. Usually priority is one of those words we just think of like mail and other things like that. But priority just means coming before. It is prior thing. And the Holy Spirit brings gifts. We often talk about the gifts of the Spirit, but we're not going to focus on those today, but the priority of the Spirit. The Spirit itself is a gift. In the first letter of John, the writer says, this is love, not that we love God, but that God loves us. And this is a continuation of the notion that Jesus points out in the Gospel of John when he says, you did not choose me, I chose you. You did not choose me, I chose you. The Holy Spirit describes what is going on here. The Trinity describes how God chooses us and loves us and reveals the depth of God's self to us. The Trinity is not this extra category extraneous to faith or life, like how a jig or a biscuit or a plane are external to tables. A joint is going to be in any table you ever see, no matter what, whether you know it's there, whether you have a name to call it or not. The Trinity is how the Bible can be read fully, because through Trinity we understand that God is concretely with us. This is not just a metaphor. This is not just a story to tell to go through a catechism. The Trinity is like a river. The source is the Father. The water is the Son, and the flow is the Spirit. You cannot separate the source and the water and the flow, and yet they are each distinct. When we get in a river, we feel it. You notice when you enter a river. It's not something that can be dismissed or avoided. When you're fording a river, it's like, oh, this is a river. I remember when I was hiking in Pennsylvania, it had flooded. The Susquehanna flooded. And I had to ford up to my neck. And I had my pack over my neck. And there were some sheriff's guys in canoes that were like, you can't be here. And I'm like, I'm going that way. And they didn't stop me, but I noticed that water coming in. I noticed the kind of like logs and things floating that I had to avoid. You notice when you're in the water. You feel the movement. The water is going somewhere. We're going somewhere together. The water of a river is always new. It's always new and fresh, yet it happened before you were born. It's before you were aware that water was flowing, and yet it's constantly renewed. Jumping into a river changes us. We are wet when we used to be dry. We are no longer in the same place. But the analogy breaks down because the Holy Spirit is with us before we enter the life of faith. God is with us, preparing our hearts for love, preparing our desire to change, preparing our desires to change. There's a time in my life when I wanted to have the approval of everyone I met. And if I didn't have their approval, I thought it was my fault. I thought there was something wrong with me. I think a lot of people go into ministry with this same notion. I mean, get up every week in front of people and have an opportunity to get approval. Yay! It can be addictive to have this. I have an audience every week, and people who say, even if they aren't paying attention, good sermon, Pastor. Good sermon, Pastor. And if that's my desire, I can be fed in that way. But for me, that changed. That changed. That desire no longer drives me. Or think about like a peep, We're often in the Easter season. I think there's Peeps from when I was a child that are still being sold. Peeps are those, like, imagine a marshmallow and you pour a bucket of sugar on it. And yellow food, like the most toxic yellow food coloring you can imagine. It's like there is nothing natural that went into this. It's like they went to an oil reservoir and like made plastic and dissolved the plastic and then turned it into yellow. But the Peep, when she's a kid, it's like, oh my God, it's a Peep. And you're just stuffing your mouth. And it's like, this is amazing. And then like as I've grown older, it's like, I no longer desire this. This is not tempting for me. Our desires change. And I think we need to always remember that that's like conversion is this transformation of what we think of as good, of what we actually desire in life. Conversion is not just this card on our life. It's not like new clothes. It's not desiring the things we used to like that were destroying us. It's not desiring the things that destroy us, that kill us. What we understand through the scriptures is that God, the Holy Spirit, is shaping our desires from before we are aware of them. This is what the psalmist says when it writes, God has known you in your mother's womb. God is with us. Amen. We are not absent from God. And God is not like a prison warden walking around trying to find demerits to knock us off, always looking for something. To see, what have you been doing lately? God is not just like the camera in the sky checking on us, making us trying to feel guilty. Sometimes God is presented in this way, but that is not the God of the scriptures. God isn't there. God doesn't desire us to look a certain way or to act a certain way. What God actually desires is for you to love what is worthy of love. To love what is worthy of love. And the Holy Spirit is with us here. To help us love what is worthy of love. And this is what separates the technical language about God from language about woodworking or mathematics or anything you have to study for that you can forget for the rest of your life. The more you think about God, the more beautiful you understand God to be. The more you think about Jesus and the absolute sacrifice of God, the more beautiful you understand God to be. The more you think about resurrection, the miracle of resurrection and the sending of the Holy Spirit to the people, the more amazing God is. The more you think about creation and the power of creation, the more amazing it is that God loves us. We can see God from the banks of the river, or we can jump in. Do you want to dry faith on the riverbank? Or do you want to jump into the life of God and have your own life transformed? The church fathers talk about the Trinity with the word perichoresis, which means dance. It means dance around. This holy dance between the Father and the Son and the Spirit that we see as the love between the Father and the Son. The Spirit is the preparer of our hearts for God. The Spirit is the preparer of our hearts for goodness in the world that draws us into this dance of love and sacrifice. The Spirit is the one who is with those who do not yet know God, and those who may never know God yet still act for good. God is present there. God is with them mysteriously. Before you had words to express the experience of the divine in your life, God was with you. Before you knew you would be here this morning, God was present with you. God, the Spirit, as the love between the Father and the Son that we are a part of. That the life of God is not content to be alone, but draws all of humanity into God's self. That God wants us to participate in the life of the Holy Trinity. That is why God is with us in the Holy Spirit. That is why the Holy Spirit has been sent to draw us back to God. To draw us away from sin. To show us that sin is not satisfying, that pride is not satisfying, that lust is not satisfying, that when we love the things that are not worthy of love, we destroy ourselves. And the Spirit draws us into community to shape us into a people that love what is worthy of love. We are not free when we love the things that are not worthy of love. We are not free when we love the things that are of self-destruction. We are being slaves to deception. We think we are doing good. We think we are acting in a good way. But we are really destroying ourselves and destroying others. But the Spirit works on us to transform our desires, to till the soil of our soul so that we are ready for love in our hearts. The Holy Spirit describes this union of Christ with us. So what are we to do with this awareness of the Holy Spirit in our world and that the Holy Spirit has been in our life from before we could even understand? Jump in. Jump in. Pray. Hear God, I'm ready for a life transformed. Hear God, I'm ready to see your love for me. Hear God, you have taken me to the river. I am ready to jump into life with you. The Holy Spirit is not limited to tongues of fire. The Holy Spirit has already come because we have already been chosen by God as worthy of love. Because before the world began, God the Father elected Christ the Son to be our Savior for us and not against us. With us and not apart from us. The Holy Spirit is with us to be the body of Christ for this world. As we say in the communion liturgy, so that we may be the body of Christ, his body, broken for the world. Jesus said, I choose you. You're chosen by God. Now, by the Holy Spirit, prepared for love, we can choose Jesus. Thanks be to God. In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen.